Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Tonight, we are in the last night of our series. We've been talking about this for 3 weeks now, talking about this whole idea of connect, and we've been looking at John 15, right? And if you look at John 15, it's like this narrowed or this microscope conversation. All of a sudden, all of John is about the life of Jesus. And then in chapter 15, it's like, it slows down. And all of a sudden, we see the last conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. And we talked about how last conversations are a big deal, right? So whether it's like a camp crush or a vacation crush, some of you guys just came back from vacation, maybe you had a crush on your vacation, and like you had to say bye, but it was like, see ya, and then you just went off, hey, Facebook me, Instagram me, right? Something like that. Or sometimes I've had the conversation where I've been on an airplane for like 8 hours, and you talk to this person, and it's like, well, have a good life. Hope to see you around someday. See you in heaven, maybe? I don't know. Right? And so last conversations, though, are a big deal. You want to say something important. You want to say meaningful words in this last conversation before you leave. And so we find that Jesus is having this last conversation, and he talks about something. He's up on a rooftop, perhaps, and it's right after this meal that he had with his disciples, and he looks out, and there's a bunch of vines across the city of Jerusalem where they're at, and it's kind of like how if you, your parents might have a small garden, and so it's kind of like they had a little vineyard on top of every roof, and he does this last illustration with his disciples, and he's grabbing a vine and some grapes, and he's like, you know what, the kingdom of God is kind of like this, and his disciples are like, huh? Right? And he goes, no, see, he goes, I want you to know, and this is what he wants us to know as well, before he left, before everything got crazy, he got crucified, and all that stuff that was about to go down in the next chapters, he said, before everything gets crazy, I want you to know this, the kingdom of God, when you become a follower after God, there's something you need to know, that there are roles in the kingdom of God. You need to know your role, right? And we talked about how, even like, watching the Indians, you might not know this, but baseball, there's roles, like there's different positions that people need to play, and in order for you to win, that's why you won't necessarily get it if you watch the Indians, but in order for you to win, you got to know your roles, know your positions, right? Not everyone can be a pitcher, not everyone's the catcher, but there's certain people that are, there's certain people that are the first baseman, outfield, there's certain people that know their positions, know their roles, and fulfills them, and so Jesus was saying, guess what, you need to know their roles, you need to know what the roles are, and he states right here, the role, one of the first roles is, he says, I am the vine. I am the vine. So he talks about how he's this power source. The vine is a power source. And so out of it flows the branches and the fruit and everything else. But if you've ever seen a vineyard, there's one main vine. And so he says, I'm the vine. And my Father, God, is the gardener. He's the one that creates and helps keep the vine healthy, helps it produce stuff. And so he's the one that prunes and does all that, waters it and everything. And then he said, so I'm the vine, you're the branches, or my Father God's the gardener, and you are the branches. That's the disciples' role. That's our role. We are the branches. We're called to produce fruit, right? And our role is to stay connected to the vine. And we looked at it like with an iPhone, right? Or any smartphone or any phone, really. This thing has so much technology in it, right? This is able to actually, the technology in this, we've said this before, was able to get a man to walk on the moon. The same technology is inside of your phone. That's how crazy awesome our smartphones are. And so this, however, is useless unless it is connected to a power source. Because sometimes your phone, like last week, I texted Austin, and the next day he texts me, and he's like, so sorry, man, my phone was dead, right? Dead. Why? Because he needed to connect it to a power source. Likewise, we have some incredible things. God created us with some incredible things inside of us, but we're useless unless we stay connected to the power source, which is Jesus. And so we talked about how last week, though, when Jesus stated that when we do stay connected to the power source, that there are promises. And there are several promises that he wanted us to make sure that we knew. One of those promises was, when you stay connected to the power source, you will produce fruit that will last. You'll produce fruit that will last. It's called a legacy. Right? Another promise is, hey, guess what? When you stay connected to the vine, the power source, Jesus, when you stay connected, you will experience real love. Real love. Something that no one else on earth can offer except for Christ. You'll experience real love. And some of us don't know what that means. Some of us think we're in love, but it's really infatuation. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. And then he also said, oh, you will experience, if you stay connected to Jesus, you'll experience true joy. True joy. And then also he said, you will glorify God as you stay connected to Jesus. You'll glorify God as you stay connected to Jesus. And so the whole thing is, we need to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. And if you missed any of those sermons, you can go online at reality.painesvilleag.com. Go to the resources in the audio section, and you can find it on our link there. This week, we're going to talk about kind of four things, four phases as Jesus wrapped this up that we need to pay attention to and realize. And it's right here. And this this first phase was this, and you can write this down. It was Jesus' time. It was Jesus' time. Let me unpack that a little bit. Has anyone ever, maybe you've attended because you are the athlete, but ever been to a track meet or a swim meet? Anyone ever been to a track meet, swim meet, know anything about, or seen it on TV? Maybe watched the Olympics, seen a track meet on TV? All right, so some of you guys. And so my sister was a swimmer, so I went to swim meets before, and in middle school, I was in track, and so I went to track meets and all this stuff. And let me tell you something. There's one thing that I hate about track, and that is waiting forever when you get to the track meet. If you've never been to a track meet, you get there, and it's just hours upon hours, and it's like, when is this ever going to end? Like, okay, Lauren, I didn't tell her I was going to say this, so maybe I'll get in trouble later, but Lauren, when she had Obadiah, we went into the hospital at like 6:30 in the morning. She didn't have Obadiah until 8:30 at night, so that's like 14 hours. A track meet feels longer than that. Like, it's just ridiculous how long it is. So, yeah, it's a long time. And then, so if you're, let me walk you through what happens. You're in your, like, little warm-up suit. You get off the bus or you get out the car. And if you're anything like me, my mom always made me two lunches, one to eat at school and then one to have with me after school because I was special like that. And so I would walk and I had my lunch and stuff. And maybe you had, I didn't have, you know, they didn't have iPhones or iPods or anything like that. So you had, like, a CD player. That you carry, like you could plug in or whatnot. And so maybe you were listening to some music, trying to get pumped up. You get off, you're kind of nervous, and you're trying to just, okay, just got to focus. And then you keep waiting. And when you get there, it seems like your event is always the last event. Like, it's always, no matter where you fall. And I ran the 50-yard dash, and I ran the 200. And then I also did the running long jump. And so it was just like forever. And so it was one of those things where you just keep waiting and waiting. And then, like, you want to stay hydrated, so you drink water. And when you drink a lot of water, what do you have to do? Pee. So you, like, wait, and you watch your friends, then you go pee. And then you come back and wait, then you watch your friends, then you go pee. It's like every 10 minutes, I'm like, waiting, watching, peeing, waiting. Well, it was kind of this crazy thing where I just constantly, like, it was ridiculous. I got to the point, I'll just bring the Port-a-John and just leave it open, and that way I can just watch while I'm, no, that's not the way it happened. So finally, though, you'll wait and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden, you'll finally, hey, your event's up next. You're on deck. Get ready. Oh, finally, okay. So now you're, like, nervous. You're like, should I go pee again? No, I just went pee. I don't need to go pee. Okay, maybe I'll just take another drink. Should I eat my lunch? No, I don't want to throw it up. Okay, so then you're, like, waiting. Then they're like, all right, Donnie, you're on lane 2. Okay, So you go out there, and if you're a sprinter, you have like these blocks that they set up. I never knew what to do with those blocks. Like sometimes they're out there, sometimes they weren't. In middle school, like all depended on how rich the school was. And so I was just like, okay, I don't know what to do with that. And then you hear the thing where they call you out and they say, runners, take your mark. Oh, okay. And I don't know if you've ever watched the Olympics, but they do this thing, and I have no idea why to this day they do this, but I decided if the Olympians do it, then I have to do it. Like, my hero is Mike Johnson, this crazy, awesome runner. And so I was like, okay. And so they do this thing, though, where they kind of look like a dog, like, peeing on a fire hydrant, but they, like, and then they, like, I don't know why you shake your legs out, but everyone does it when they run, so you just got to do it. So they're like, and so I'm shaking my legs out, and then they say, get set. So, like, everyone arches up. And then somebody false starts, and you're like, oh, come on, oh my gosh, okay. And then you get back, take your marks, right? Get set. Whoop. Bang! And then you're off. It's finally your time for your event. It's like, yes, this is my time, this is my event. See, when we look at John 15, I want you to realize that this was Jesus' time. This was his event that he was saying, guess what? It's my time to run this race right here. This is a big event that is going to change the course of history right here. He's going to go to the cross, and then he's going to raise again from the dead a couple days later. And this was Jesus' time. And he wanted them to know that, hey, guess what? This is my time. This is what's going to go down. And so we need to realize something that he said there. He said this 11 times. That's so important because this is his main event right here. And he said 11 times in this passage of scripture between 15 verse 1 to 17. Right here it says abide or remain or connect. 11 times. So he wants us to know as he's getting ready, as he's taking his mark, as he's going in this event of his of this life that all of his life, he was waiting around for over 30 years, waiting, doing ministry for a couple of those years. And he was just waiting, knowing that this, the whole wait was coming to this moment. This was his event. This was Jesus' time right here. This moment, this week that we find ourselves in. And John 15, verse 13 to 15, it says this, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. So he says all this is about to happen. The thing is, the disciples didn't know that the crucifixion was about to happen. They didn't know that he was going to raise again. But he wanted to kind of prime the pump and say, guess what? There's no greater love than for someone to lay down his life for his friends. So you're about to see something go down. I want you to know that I love you with a love that's unlike any other that you've never experienced before because I'm laying down my life for you. And he's trying to do this as an example of what they can do because he knew right now it was his time, but pretty soon it was about to be somebody else's time. Right? And so he knew everything was about to change in a big way. And so this was his big event. And he wanted them to know that everything that I know, I'm passing it on to you. I've passed it on. You know it. We've been together for years. You know everything that my Father has told me. All right? And so here's the second thing that we need to know tonight. And this was the next who else's time it was. And Jesus chose and prepared his disciples for their time. For their time. It was his time right now as he was about to go to the cross. It was his time, but he chose and he prepared his disciples because as soon as he rose from the dead and he was going to ascend to heaven, it was about to be their time. It was about to be a time for their event. It was about to, they were going to now do the big thing. They were going to carry the weight. They'd been waiting around being Jesus' disciples, listening, learning, all this stuff, and now it was time for them to show up and to just expand his gospel and his kingdom. And so they need to know that it was about to be their time. In verse 16, it says this, Jesus said to them, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. He's talking about legacy right there. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Now, a lot of people get caught up with this, wait, did I choose God or did God choose me? And where's free will in all this? And people get really caught up in the silly conversation. But what Jesus is trying to say right here, we're not talking about predestination. We're not talking about free will. We're not talking about any of that. Right here, this is what Jesus wants to say. He goes, listen, I looked out over all created time, from the beginning with Adam and Eve to the end of the final judgment, which we don't know when that's going to be. He said, I looked out over all created time, and I chose you for this moment. He was talking to his disciples. I chose you for this moment because these few years were going to be where you make the most impact in all of human history. He's telling his disciples this. You did not choose to live in this moment. I chose you. I chose you to put you right here. He could have had Peter and John and James and all those guys here in 2015, right, with us. They'd be a lot better preachers than I am, right? A lot cooler, right? But all of a sudden, we find that, no, he put them over 2,000 years ago in this situation right here because this is where they're going to make the most impact. And so he wanted them to know, guess what? This is your time, disciples. This is your time. Right now, it's about to come up, right? And so Jesus realized that their faith was going to get shaken in a few days, that they were going to start thinking all sorts of thoughts, that their whole world was going to crumble. Some of you guys have experienced that. You thought life was going one way, and then all of a sudden, your whole world turned upside down. A decision that was made out of your control, maybe, teachers, parents, siblings, something crazy went down. And all of a sudden, you're like, what in the world just happened? And Jesus wanted them to know and wants us to know, guess what? I'm going to be right here with you. I chose you for this moment. I chose you to go through this. I chose you to be in this family. That you were created and chosen for this moment right now in 2015. And so we need to understand the power of right now. See, our culture is all about right now, right? We hear that all the time. We hear it, I mean, you've heard that through music and rock and roll and crazy hair bands and rappers, you know. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to go. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Eminem? No? Maybe? Okay. So you've even heard the phrase YOLO, right? You only live once. And so this whole idea is, hey, live it up right now. Carpe diem. Seize the day. This is all you got, right? And all of a sudden, we get that out in the world. But when it comes to church, we kind of get confused about it. Well, you know, when I get older, maybe I'll get involved with church or something, right? All of a sudden, it's interesting how we don't think that it's about us, but Jesus is saying right now to his disciples that there is the power of right now. This is about to be your time. Get ready. I've chosen you for this. Know that I've chosen you for it and walk in it with boldness. So the third thing I want to talk about tonight is this, that Jesus says that now is our time. That now, 2015, is our time. It was Jesus' time, went, died on the cross, rose again, right? Broke us free from bondage, gave us a way out of sin. Then it was the disciples' time to carry that message to the world, to set up some incredible things, right? Such as the church and what that means and set some of that stuff up. Now, it's our time. In 2015, it's our time to carry that mantle, to realize that God has created us for this moment. He chose us for now. We weren't forgotten. We weren't just put on this earth to survive and see how best we do. We were chosen for this moment because this is the moment in our life. This is the moment of all human history that we will make the most impact, that Donnie Stewart will make the most impact in all of human history right now in these few years of his life. The same goes for you. And so what's it our time to do? Number one, it's our time to love. To love. Jesus has chosen and appointed us to love, right? No greater love that a man has than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You know, historically, only one disciple actually didn't die by laying down his life. And that was only because he survived being martyred. It was John, the guy that's writing this gospel. He survived being boiled alive. And so all of a sudden, every other disciple laid down their life for Christ, laid down their life, spreading God's love, realizing that it's not about me, it's about sharing his love with everyone. And what's cool about this is 2,000 years later now, we see this across the globe. People are still being killed because they are spreading God's love, because they refuse to say, you know what? You can take my body, but you can't take my spirit. You cannot get me to shut up about Jesus, right? What's crazy is the disciples said that. You can take my body, but you can't take my spirit. You're not going to get me to shut up about this message. And that's what now, even over in the Middle East and all these other countries, people are dying. And it's real, man. It's real that people are dying, saying, you know what? You can take my body, but you can't take my spirit. And you can't get me to shut up about Jesus. And so we see that it's our time to choose to love. That we need to love like Christ loved by laying down our lives. By saying, you know what, God, would you take all of me? I want to live for you, right? What's it also our time? It's our time to serve. That's the second thing. Even Philippians 2 says this, states that Christ came not to be served, but to serve, right? Even to death on the cross, that he served us completely. And it's our time to do the same. It's our time to serve. And what's cool is that's why we do church. That's why the disciples went out. They started doing all these New Testament churches and homes and all this stuff. Is they wanted to impact that world and that neighborhood around them. And that's what they were created to do. And likewise, that's why we have Painesville Assembly of God here now to impact the world around us of Lake County, to impact the schools, because that's why we're here, is to love and to serve those around us. That's why you're here. Right, is to serve. And so what's cool is it's not about our time in the future when we get older and graduate, that's when we serve, but it's our time to serve right now. Now, I want to take a quick poll. What's cool is a lot of our students are catching this. If you serve in any capacity, whether it be on a Sunday morning in our worship, or whether it be like in nursery, or whether you've served in Kids Blast, or so many different areas that we serve, or you can serve at the Welcome Center, or anything like that. If you've ever served, if you're serving in our church right now, would you just lift up your hand and so? Yeah, yeah, yep, 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 yep. Lift it up high. All the way up. See, look at that. It's so cool to see that about half of the kids in this room right now have served. You can put your hands down. What's cool is to see that you guys have caught this, that, hey, it's about serving. It's about going after God, right? It's also our time to give. That's the third thing. It's our time to give. It's our time to love. It's our time to serve. It's our time to give. It's our time to give. Give sacrificially. You know, the disciples, they gave them themselves. A lot of them, they left their family business, right? Like Peter, his family was all about being fishermen, and he left that, left it all behind so that he could follow after Jesus. You see that a little bit later, Paul left this prestigious job to follow after Jesus, to go after him with everything that he had to make his name known amongst the people. And so we see that, man, for us, God's calling us to give sacrificially. And what does that look like for us 2,000 years later? Some of us need to realize that some of our sports programs that we want to get involved in are asking us to take away from our relationship with God, are asking us to do things that, you know, if we didn't do them, all of a sudden we realize this could be a moment where we go all after Jesus. Because we want to sacrifice and say, God, I want to give you everything. And that means I'm giving you my soccer or my football or my play or whatever it might be. Because, God, I know that this is what you've called me to do. You've called me to live differently. You've called me to do something. Now, is soccer or sports or extracurricular activities wrong? No. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a point where God's calling you to give sacrificially. And we need to say, God, I don't want to draw a line in the sand of what you've called me to do and say, I'll do this much, but no more. So many of you guys, Your parents have dreams for you. Man, I can't wait for my kid, my boy, my girl to grow up. They're going to be so awesome. They're going to do this awesome thing. They're going to be the best teacher. They're going to be the best businessman. They're going to run my business. Some of you guys, your parents have dreams for you, but there's going to come a moment where you need to ask the question, God, are you calling me to give that dream up to follow after you? It might look like education. Might look like college degrees. Hey, they gave me all this money so I could go to this, so that I could become this or this. And hey, this is what, you know, I'm looking at these colleges or going to these classes and doing this stuff. And God's saying, he might be calling you to say, you might need to give that. give that up. Now, is it wrong to pursue a degree in business or be a teacher or a social worker or an engineer? No, not at all. But I'm saying there's going to come a moment where you need to ask the question, God, do you want me to give this up? Is this something that I need to give up so that, because I know that this time right now is my time and it's not about me. It's all about you, God. And so what is it that you want me to do? At some point you need to realize that we need to give everything for the call of Christ. And everything's going to look a little bit different for you than it is for me. But what is it going to be? Sometimes God's going to, it's always God's going to call you out of the comfortable and into the courageous. And you're not always going to understand why. It's not going to always make sense. And your parents, your siblings, people are going to say, what are you doing? But you're going to say, I'm following after God the best way I know how. I know that I'm called to give sacrificially in this. And this is what I love about our student ministry, because right now we have support staff that get this, that understand what it means to give sacrificially, and they're here week in and week out. And I've told our support staff this, and I've probably mentioned this to you guys as well, but our ministry here, Reality Student Ministries, it's not a ministry for students. I want you to catch that. It's not a ministry for students. It's a ministry with students. What does that mean? That means it requires you to be involved in doing something for Jesus. It means you need to be involved in serving and giving in a way that says, God, I want them to come alongside. Because I tell our support staff, we're not about coming up here and teaching them how to live. Hey, when I was at your age, I dealt with this, so I'm sure you dealt with it too. Right? It's not about that. It's about coming alongside and saying, man, you know what? I really struggled with this week. How are you doing? Hey, what's God been telling you lately, and what are you doing about it? And walking alongside this walk together. That's what this ministry is for. It's not a ministry for students. It's a ministry with students that we want to do life with you. And some of these support staffers have gotten that. I love that because most of them have grown up, the few that I'm going to mention tonight, have grown up in your seats right now. And they're now being support staff for it. This one guy, he actually met his wife here, and they went here. He went to college just at Lake Erie, and so he was involved here for 17 years. He's been involved in youth ministry here, in the student ministry here. For 17 years, he's been involved doing this. He went away for a couple years, and then he moved back, and now he's back in. Some of you guys will know who this is. He's now our teen Bible quiz leader. It's Sam Clough and his wife, Sarah. And they've been involved, I can't believe it, 17 years. Because he knows that there is power in what God is doing. Because it's his time right now. It's his time. And that's what it's all about. There's another guy that just graduated from college last year. He also grew up in the program. He had been here, done this, and he went away to college, came back, and within months of moving back to college, he said, hey, I want to get back involved. I want to get involved in the student ministry and being a leader, being a support staffer. And so he helps out with our middle school ministry on Sunday mornings. And so him and his fiance, soon-to-be wife in the fall, have been helping out now since this past fall, since about September, August time frame. And that's Nolan and his fiance, Courtney. And so you see that, man, they've caught this vision to say, yeah, I want to help out in any way I can. And then there's another couple. He grew up through here. He grew up in the church here at Painesville Assembly. He did the whole thing with Reality Youth, and he was involved in that. And then his wife came, and she was a sophomore in college, and they started dating. As college people, they started getting involved and started to be a support staffer on here. And then they moved away, and then they moved back here in 2012, and they've been involved ever since. You know, he is involved in Sunday school, and she is not only involved in Sunday school, but you see here almost every Wednesday night, and that is Scott and Rachel Leopard. Some of you guys are really close. I love that picture of Scott. That's the best. So I want you to know that these support staffers do it because they realize that it's their time to run this race, to go all after God, to realize that it's their time to empower you, to realize that it's your time now as well. Right? And that they know that this is a ministry not just for students, but with students. And our ministry here is built on their backs. They've been here a lot longer than I have. Our ministry here is built on their backs because they carry the vision, knowing that, God, you have called us to be here for this time, and we want to be all in, giving sacrificially of everything that we have. They realize that this is not just about a moment in time. Oh, yeah, it's just a fun time to have a moment of, you know, high school, junior high stuff. No, it's about a movement that increases as you grow older, that says, you know what, God, I want to engage you in a passionate way, right? And so the thing is, now is our time. We need to realize that now is our time, that tonight, this is our time. And now I don't want to just present this idea to you without anything, any tools for you. Now, I'll explain one tool to you that you can get involved with within the next few weeks, of getting, saying, God, I want to be involved in what you're doing. Of, I want to love, I want to serve, and I want to give. God, I know that it's my time right now. And so tonight I wanted to show a video. Lauren and I have this friend, this couple friend, that they live in the Philadelphia area. And he started this awesome program called You Are Impact. And he started this with just a couple of his students in his ministry, and it's now spread to not only Delaware, but Ohio and Kansas, Missouri. And so there's these clubs with over 600 students involved in this on a weekly basis, where after school, they actually get together, or during school, during a lunch, or before school, they get together, and they just, a couple of them, it could be as few as just three of you guys getting together and saying, what can we do to serve, to give of ourselves sacrificially to this school? How can we impact the school? And his whole vision was, let's transform our schools from the inside out. Let's stop just talking about, hey, how can we get pastors into schools? But let's see, how can we transform students to get this upon this movement and say, I want to be a part of the difference? Because I'm telling you, for some of you guys, there's a powerhouse inside of you. Man, and what's awesome is we're already starting this. Our culture in Lake County is already starting to go this way. And how awesome would it be that our students in Reality Youth are at the forefront of this? Because we have it at Heritage. There's a club at Harvey. There's one at Minner. There's one at Kirtland. There's also one at Willoughby. That they say, hey, students are coming together to say, let's do something radical. Let's impact our schools. And so I want to show a quick video about kind of the heart and the vision that he has for this.
There are 86,400 seconds that make up one day, 1,440 minutes, 24 hours. There are moments in everyone's life when an opportunity arises to make a difference in the world around them, a choice to do something with the seconds they've been given, an opportunity to use their time on purpose. If not now, then when? You take about 28,800 breaths a day, and you walk 6,000 steps to get where you're headed in that day. Every person has the same amount of time in one day. How you spend those seconds, minutes, and hours is all up to you. We've all been born with a purpose in life, a reason for being alive, and a calling to greatness. Some listen to that calling and do something great with their lives. ...40% of gang members are under the age of 18. One in five students will be sexually abused by the time they graduate high school. Suicide is the third leading cause of death in your generation. You walk by these individuals in the hallways of your school every day. She's the girl sitting next to you in math class. He's the guy that you think has it all together. But this could all change if you seize the moment God's given you. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Life is full of moments that scream to be captured by someone. How will you capture the moments given you and make an impact in your world?
this organization was just a tool. It's just a way to say, you know what, God, I believe that you're calling me to do something right now, because this is our time. It's right now. This is your time. Your time to be used by God. Your time to say, you know what, God, I believe that you have called me to make an impact. And in our schools is one of the biggest ways to do that. And so if under your seat there is a blue paper and it says, hey, I want to get involved with your impact, and you can just write your name and write the school. And if that's you, then tonight I'm going to ask after service that you come up here, and you can put that on the table right here. But I also want you to grab one of these as a way of saying, or some info. It's a card basically that has the .com residency that says, you know, yourimpact.org. And so that's just a way that you could get connected, a way that we want to say, hey, let's do this thing together. Let's not just say, yeah, it's my time. Yeah, I want to invite friends. No, no, no. Let's be bold enough to say, God, this is my event. God, I know that you have called me right now. This is my time. This is my time. So the fourth thing I want you to know, and you can fill this in, is will you waste your time? Will you waste your time knowing that there's opportunities like Impact Club, knowing that there's opportunities to get involved and to invite friends, like in a couple weeks you can invite 40, you know, if we get 45 students, man, Ice Cream Sunday, woohoo. But it's not about the Ice Cream Sunday. It's about getting students and creating a way of saying, hey, would you come to our student ministry? Would you come to youth group? Would you come out on Wednesday night, right? Will you waste your time? Will you spend your time, emotions, and resources on something that's not lasting, that's not eternal? Spend it all on figuring out how to play guitar. Spend it all on trying to figure out how to get it to the next level in your crazy game on your app or whatever it might be that you're playing or getting involved with. Spend it all on a boy or a girl. See, our dream here at Reality Student Ministries is that you would live a life with no regrets. That you would live a life knowing that this is your time and making the most of your time right now. Now, some of you guys say, oh, I already got regrets. I already did this. That's okay. Guess what? He makes all things new. So this is your time. We've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. No better time than now than to begin your life, which you're at right now. This is the beginning of your life, with the end in mind, saying, God, I know that this is my time, and I know that this is my event. I've waited around. Now it's time. Runners, take your mark. It's time for you. Get set. It's time for you to say, God, with everything that's within me, I want to run that race. Not looking to the right or to the left, not being held back, but I want to make the most of my time. I want to use what this life that you've given me, because I know that you have chosen me for this moment in history, that this moment in history, this lifespan that I have, it might be 30 years, it might be 40 years, it might be 80, it might be 120 years, but this moment in history that we are living is the only moment that we will make the most impact in our world. Jesus chose us for this moment, not years ago, not years from now, but this moment he chose us to live in. So the question is, what can you do right now? What can you do to reach the world around you right now? Because here's the truth. The quickest way to waste your time is to do it alone. Okay, well, I'll try to invite my friends. I'll try to do that. You can't do this by yourself. You got to have other people around you. It's called accountability. It's not just about showing up here to get counted. That's not what student ministry is about. It's not just about showing up here to get counted. It's about saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want to serve. I want to give. I want to love. So tonight, I want us to spend some time thinking and praying and saying, God, how have you called me to spend my time? It might be with Impact Club. It might be saying, hey, let's launch something. And you're saying, well, I'm homeschooled. Maybe you're on a sports team. Man, you could start something. Hey, what if we just got together before or after? Hey, you know, what if we just got, you know, all it takes is a couple students over lunch, get a teacher sponsor, and you could go into their room. This program is so easy. They give you everything that you need to be able to say, hey, let's impact our schools. They give you tons of ideas. And if you go online, there's a short training about how to be involved and how you can lead a movement at your school, how you can take a hold of the reins and say, guess what? This is my time. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to do it. I'm not going to say, man, that was a good idea. I wonder if somebody will do it and I could be a part of that. No. It's about you right now, right here, saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want to make the most of my time right now. It's about doing what Christ has called us to do. Live in our time and live life full. And that's what we're called to do. So tonight, let's go ahead and stand up. Let's stand up. If you want to spread out, you can go to the back of the room, you can go to the sides, but we're going to just make this declaration. I ask that they would sing this, the chorus of that, You Make Me Brave, because we need to call to God and say, God, You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shores. God, if this is something You call me to do, Lord, I know that it is my time right here, right now, that it is my time to get involved in what You call me to do, that this is my time, God. I'm not going to let somebody else run the race. This is my time. I'm putting up the blocks. Are you ready? Are you set? Runners, go. Let's go after God tonight.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.